Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:12 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is October 23rd. Today was a weak day right across stock markets. The majority of indices in Europe and the USA finished on the lows of the day. The Dow Jones is finishing down on the day over 2%, the S&P 2.2%, the Nasdaq Composite 2.43%, the TSX down under 2%, but not by much. The Mexican index down by 1.7%, pretty similar for the Brazilian index. In Europe, where Germany failed to sell about a third of its allocation of 6 billion euros of bonds, the DAX was down 1.44%. The FTSE was down 1.29%. And in Asia, the majority of markets were also in negative territory. The ASX was down by almost 2%. Taiwan, of the Asian markets, has been hit probably harder than most and has now taken out the 2010 lows. So that is a mark of just how much it has deteriorated. Some of the Asian markets are a bit stronger. China continues to hold above where it posted two upside key reversals back in October, but it will need to continue to hold above those levels. In the commodity complex, the majority of the grains and beans are all pretty weak. Now, some of those are pulling back towards areas of potential support, but in the current environment where there is a remarkably high degree of uncertainty, and particularly following the MF Global bankruptcy, and that was primarily focused on the commodity sector, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. So we really do need to see upward dynamics sustained beyond a couple of days to suggest that demand is returning to dominance in some of these soft commodities. In the industrial metal sector, it was also reasonably weak in here. The majority were down today. Copper, for instance, was down 7.8 cents. It's down to 3.27. Now, the low is closer to 3. So while a large number of markets have rallied spectacularly in October, most of them closed their overextension relative to their 200-day moving average. In that category, you have copper, you have platinum and palladium, the DAX index in Germany. All of those rallied spectacularly in October, closed their overextensions relative to the 200-day moving average, but now they're deteriorating again. It remains to be seen if the early October lows are going to hold. And we are seeing an incredible amount of bearish sentiment being expressed here. A little bit more about that in a moment. I do a click-through of markets every morning, and I look at just about all stock market indices, a range of bonds, a range of currencies, and most commodities. And it takes about 15 minutes. I have a macro on the Bloomberg setup to do it for me. And I just sit there and look at the charts. And following that click-through, I ask a simple question. Is there anything out there that's really worth buying? It's hard not to like the US dollar right now. The US dollar rallied very impressively all the way through September. It broke medium-term downtrends against a whole slew of currencies. Now, in the chart library, we have sections devoted to spot rates for a whole range of countries. I would suggest going and taking a weekly chart and looking at a large number of them, because the commonality is stunning. You have the dollar rallying, a stronger rally than it's had at any time in the last few years, but with the possible exclusion of the crash in 2008. It then pulled back, found support in the region of the 200-day moving average, and now it appears to be rallying once more. The US dollar is being considered a safe haven in here. US treasuries today were stronger by a full point. They're back above 145. They look to be closing in on their peak. By contrast, German bunds today were down by 1.44. The Eurozone crisis has moved from peripheral countries such as Greece, Ireland, and Portugal to bigger economies like Italy and Spain. It's moved on to core European countries with in the case of Belgium, no government. In the case of France, massive unfunded entitlements. But it is in the last few months and weeks moved on to really quite strong countries like Austria, the Netherlands, and Finland. And it's only in the next step that it moves on to Germany. Germany has massive unfunded pension entitlements. Germany has got an incredible amount of debt. It's also had to absorb its banking sector almost whole. Commerzbank yesterday made an announcement that they're going to need considerably more capital to recapitalize that bank. And the way we're seeing spreads widening out right across the sovereign bond market, the fact that Europe is more likely than not to move into a recessionary kind of environment does suggest that quantitative easing is the solution the markets would like best. Now, Germany remains opposed to that, at least in the media, but there is an inevitability to this process, and Germany are going to squeeze as much austerity out of its out of the peripheral countries as it can before it agrees to make any kind of real concession. They are very worried about moral hazard, and they're playing a sensible game in here. They don't have the markets in mind to any particular degree, and that is abundantly evident because investors are really quite uncertain in here. Now, I've seen some incredibly bearish reports, and I would put them in the fire and brimstone category, where people are literally talking about the end of the financial markets as we know it. Now, stock market activity has been deteriorating. We had a very good rally in October. We're seeing an equally sharp decline now in November. Volatility has been a real problem for the last 6 months. It, more than anything else, is damaging to sentiment. When sentiment gets damaged like that, people sit on the sidelines. They raise cash, they sit on the sidelines, they say, well, I don't know where this market is going to go, so I'm not going to do anything. And that removes demand from the market. And that's not bullish. So what we need to see is for these markets to find support above or in the region of their October lows. We need to see some substantive action in Europe. That is the catalyst everyone is waiting for. Until that happens, then this volatility and the increasing ambivalence of investors towards the potential for markets to improve is likely to continue to deteriorate. This isn't a bullish environment for stocks at present. However, when one looks at the leaders, they're back to interesting levels. We've seen that some of the leading consumer shares, they had become really quite overextended. They'd hit new all-time highs back in October. They've been unwinding some of that overbought condition over the last couple of weeks. They're coming back towards their 200-day moving averages, or they're testing their previous peaks. That's where the growth is. That's where the really big story is. These are companies that are not particularly affected by what happens in Europe or happens in the USA, particularly because their big growth story is in Asia. With commodity prices starting to pull back, that is going to lower inflationary expectations in Asia. Now we're seeing that the US dollar is rallying against just about all currencies in here, but it's rallying against some of those Asian currencies stronger than most, India in particular. Now that's going to benefit the domestic manufacturing sectors in those countries when the shooting stops. Inflationary pressures are going to be less of a worry. That means monetary policy can be eased a bit more aggressively. China is more likely than not to attempt to bring down the price of its houses. It seems to be succeeding in that regard, but it doesn't want a crash, and that means that they're going to have to start easing policy or supporting the consumer base in order to avoid a hard landing, and that is very much in their interests. So we can expect that some of these Asian countries, which have so far held out against easing policy, to begin easing policy. That should help to support their stock markets over the medium term. In the short term, the risks are somewhat skewed to the downside in here. But this we're still living in the greatest urbanization in history. We're seeing literally billions of people move from the country to the city in the next 20 years. For the first time in history, more people have more money to spend, and they're increasingly attempting to improve the normal standard of living. That is helping consumer stocks. That is reflected in their outperformance, and the shares that are globally oriented have strong cash flows and a respectable record of increasing their dividends. Are likely to continue to be among the better performers, irrespective of how this European crisis plays out. It is more likely than not that there is going to be a successful resolution to this crisis at some point in the next few months, but we're probably not there just yet, and the stock markets have been pulling back. They're oversold in the short term. Now, it was very easy to become bu very bullish back at the end of October when these markets had rallied spectacularly. It's now very easy to become extraordinarily bearish as we've seen an overbought condition turn very rapidly into an oversold condition. And the more oversold they become, the greater the likelihood is that we're going to get a bounce. And given the volatility that we have, the chances are that any bounce that occurs could potentially be another powerful rally. So while one wants to keep the chart action very much in mind, we also have to bear in mind that extraordinarily bearish sentiment is more an indication of what people have already done with their money rather than what they're going to do. So that is definitely something to bear in mind. Now, gold is back below $1,700. It was at $1,800 about 10 days ago. It's still well above its 200-day moving average. It continues to consolidate. Now, the other precious metals are below their 200-day MAs. They're looking much more like industrial metals and being traded on that basis. But gold remains a store of value. It had become temporarily overextended relative to the 200-day moving average back when it was at $1,900 and change. It pulled back very violently. It appears to be in a process of consolidation. But that process of consolidation is a $300 range, and one has to be prepared for that kind of volatility in the context of a support building phase prior to it moving on to new high ground at some point, probably next year. The US dollar continues to look like the haven currency of choice. And while it's difficult to make an extraordinarily bullish case for the US dollar, it is certainly liquid. And in a time when people are increasingly anxious, liquidity gets a premium. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.